With me now is the one and only Peter King from Sports Illustrated. Peter, the first thing I want to ask you is, you've seen the moves that the Browns have made this offseason, in particular what they did at the very start of the free agency period to address their defense. What are your thoughts on that?
You know, I think that the one thing I was impressed with what the Browns did is that I thought that the Browns would sort of attack free agency the way the Miami Dolphins did. The Miami Dolphins basically are this year's, you know, Redskins, Cowboys, you know, probably overpaying because they felt they needed to overpay to get those guys. But, you know, you might make an argument that, you know, they overpaid Bryant. You might make the argument they overpaid
Paul Kruger.
Yeah, Kruger. But, you know, listening to people talk here at the league meetings, you know, Paul Kruger had four or five teams that were going to be somewhere between $7 and $9 million on him, or say $7 to $8 million. And I think you get to the point now where defensive linemen, it's like looking for Mr. Goodbar. You know, the only guys who have a hard time finding a spot are the ones with age on them. You know, you see the John Abraham still out there, OCU Mignora, Dwight Freeney. And they're out there because I think people view them as 1 or 2 year fixes and not anything long term.
Right.
Cleveland Browns got two front seven players, in my opinion, who are going to step right in. I've always felt this about the Browns. And I said this on NBC the day that the signings came down. DeQuell Jackson is a really good football player. Jabal Sheard is a really good football player. And they've got other good players on the front seven as well. But I'm talking about those two guys specifically. Those two guys will be made better by those two free agent signings. Particularly, I'm really looking forward to Jabal Sheard basically becoming more of an impact pass rusher.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that he's never going to be, you know, Jared Allen, or he's never going to have the impact. I doubt he's ever going to be a 15, 16, 17 sack guy. But what he can be is the type of pass rusher who, in a bookend situation with a good one, is going to be a difficult guy to block with one man.
Mm-hmm.
And so I like the fact that they buttressed their front seven with two guys who were wanted by a lot of teams in this league.
Peter, when you look at those investments, too, on the defensive side, it really is, I see, as a continuation of the investment in Ray Horton. This team definitely went
high. You can tell they love Ray Horton.
They love Ray Horton, yes. They showed their love beyond signing him to the contract that they did and to go along with North Turner. I mean, they went very high-end with coordinators, big investment there. So this kind of was a natural continuation of that. I wonder how you see the big picture converting – from Dick Geron's 4-3 to the 3-4, and what sort of result impact do you expect from that scheme? And you just illustrated why these players make sense for it, but what sort of difference making do you see from it?
It's interesting. Sean Payton this morning at the NFC coaches breakfast, somebody said to him, why'd you go from 4-3 to 3-4? And he goes, you look at the NFL over the last 10 years, you look at the 3-4 teams versus 4-3 teams, 3-4 personnel coming out in drafts versus 4-3 personnel coming out in drafts. Excuse me. And he said, in my opinion, the 3-4 teams in general have just simply had more success in the last 10 years, and it's more the way the game is being played now. Vic, I would look at the whole way teams are trying to design their defenses right now and look at it in this way, that if you were to design a new team and you were to say, okay, how do we want our team to be? What do we want to play? I think the common sense way is to find three stout guys up front who, and at least two other in addition, who can play in a rotation.
Mm-hmm.
And you take these guys up front and you basically say to them, you guys keep the backs from getting to the second level.
Right.
And if you do that, then you ought to be able to have enough at the linebacker position to get to the quarterback.
Peter King from Sports Illustrated and NBC joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, as we broadcast from the NFL meetings in Phoenix, Arizona. Peter, the other, of course, major conversation with this team, if you can get this defense built up, and I see it as the, at least in the eyes of the Browns, more of a quicker solution to improvement while waiting on what happens at quarterback. And the quarterback issue lingers. So I wonder how much faith do you think the Browns should have in the fact that North Turner is here, Rob Chudzinski is here, and that they can make whoever's at quarterback, but let's presume it's Brandon Whedon, that much better.
See, I think it's a hard question to answer now before the draft because, you know, the Browns really, you know, I think there are a lot of teams in the draft who, if the quarterback they like is there in, say, at the top of the second round or midway through the second round, they might change their plans, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, I have no idea what quarterback is going to go when, all right? But the thing I do know is that I keep hearing people, when I talk to any personnel people or general managers about this quarterback crop, there's two themes. Number one, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Mm-hmm. Number two, and this is sort of a this is sort of along the lines of there are a lot of teams like the Browns right now. They have quarterbacks on the roster, but they don't know if they're in love with them. So in other words, if they have a chance, you know, they get to the second round and, oh my God, there's Matt Barkley. How did he last? Something like that is going to happen. Or, God, Ryan Nassib's the best quarterback on our board. There he is at number 43. We're taking him. So I think this is going to be, I'll tell you this, on April 27th, I guarantee you will read this quote uttered somewhere on, you know, somewhere on the internet. You'll read this: we were shocked that quarterback was still available when we were going to pick. Now, people say that all the time, but this year, I think you're going to read that maybe from two or three teams because there is just no consensus. You know, there seems to be, okay, Geno Smith's going in the top 10. Okay. Yeah. But beyond that, where is there any consensus? My whole feeling about Brandon Whedon is that, and first of all, I'm in the vast minority because I thought that Colt McCoy should get another year. Very hard to sell that, though, when you're desperate to win, making a bunch of changes on your team and everything. But I'll say this, Vic. I think it's pretty hard to have a rookie quarterback come in and pass judgment on him after 1 year by a new personnel staff and a new coaching staff. That's really hard. Yeah. So I would, you know, for his sake, and I like Brandon Whedon. I don't know if he's going to succeed or not, but I like him. He's got a good approach to the game. He's not intimidated. And so I think he's got a chance. But, you know, I don't know if they're going to give him that chance.
If they do, what does Turner and what does Chud do for him?
Here's the thing. I've always thought that if you go back to, I think it was 1990 or 91 when Norv Turner first went to the Dallas Cowboys. I'll never forget this, you know, because I went on a scouting trip with Jimmy Johnson's coaching staff when Norv Turner had just gotten there. One of the things I'll always remember is how Norv Turner would look at a college football player and other coaches, even at this age, this was 21 years ago or something, even at that stage, there were people kind of gathered around him to listen to what he thought because he was so widely respected. I think Ernie Zampezi and, you know, and kind of off the Coryell tree, people really liked the way that Norv Turner taught offense. And, you know, you look at the success he's had over the years. I think one of the best coaching jobs he's ever done is the year he spent with Alex Smith in San Francisco a few years ago. Now, Alex Smith didn't have a great year, but he, from the start of the year to the end, was a markedly better quarterback. So I look at it and I say, you know, that's a very fortunate thing. And obviously, Chudzinski, and I'll never forget this story. This is a story that I always tell when I talk about Chudzinski, who I don't know well at all. But I remember the game on Monday Night Football, I think it was 09, where the Giants came in undefeated to Cleveland and the Browns cleaned their clock.
Yes.
And I was trying to get a hold of Chudzinski that week to talk to him about a story. And so at like 1:48 a.m., he called. And I was asleep, but I answered the phone. And at 1:48 a.m., I said, yeah, let's talk a little bit later in the week. Where are you? Well, I'm down in Berea. I'm sort of getting ready. I think they were playing the Redskins the next week. But he said, yeah, I'm kind of getting a head start. You know, we got to be ready to go to game plan in the morning. And I just, it isn't that he's the only coach who would ever do that, okay? Because coaches do that. But it always sort of impressed me that if you look at Rob Chudzinski, his career resume, it's just my feeling. It's a very good chance that's the biggest night of his coaching career. The New York Giants, undefeated, Super Bowl champions recently, come to Cleveland, big game, Monday Night Football, and Rob Chudzinski has a game plan where he embarrasses the Giants defense. They kill him. And I just thought to myself that day, I said, this guy's pretty good, you know?
He grinds, that coaches grind, as you say, by nature, but I think he's more of a grinder than some. I think that's fair, and I think you caught the right kind of right example of how he operates. Peter, the overall leadership, though, of this team, and I know you've had a chance to get to know Jimmy Haslam a little bit through these past several months, and you've known Joe Banner a long time. Your thoughts on what they bring to it and how you see it evolving in the short period that Jimmy Haslam has been the owner of this team?
You know what I think, Vic, that there are so many things right now that we can't know. There's so many things we can't know. Number one, you know, how do people respond to adversity? What is their real philosophy about team building? I mean, how heavily involved year after year will they be in free agency? I mean, look, Joe Banner's last significant foray into free agency before he got to Cleveland was an abject disaster in Philadelphia. But
Peter,
I
just takes
now,
a shot to
I
the arm
from
Jason Garrett.
Jason Garrett, yeah. But go ahead. I mean, it was an abject disaster. But you know, I think everybody learns from different things in football, and Joe Banner obviously learned. That, and I bet the lesson he would tell you that he learned from that is it's always dangerous when you have established really good players on your team to bring in higher paid guys at their position to come in as free agents who haven't accomplished as much as the guys who are on your team. Won't be the problem so much with Cleveland because the Browns haven't won. But, you know, I think you know, we've got to wait and see what his track record is going to be on free agency. But I think the one thing that Joe Banner will bring from Philadelphia is the ability to understand how you put a good team together. I mean, even with the variety of quarterbacks they had over the years, this is a team that, you know, was a consistent playoff Super Bowl contender every year. And he understands how to build it. And I think the one thing that Jimmy Haslam, one of the things that attracted Jimmy Haslam wanted a guy who was going to be able to come in here and say, this is how it's done. I've seen it before, and it's worked, and we're going to do it. And then we'll just see if he can do it.
Tremendous, Peter. We thank you so much for the time, and
hey,
I'm
Vic,
sure we'll catch up with you down the line.
Sounds great. See you in training camp, hopefully.
Absolutely. He is Peter King from Sports Illustrated NBC, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, as we broadcast from Phoenix, Arizona, site of the 2013 NFL meetings. Much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.